Let's start off with a little humor. How's that sound? So I was thinking about, you know, how do we get this part of, you know, get into chapter 6 and get this portion of scripture started and effectively kind of communicate, this. And we've seen such wonderful truths kind of been just, for me anyway, and I hope it's going this way for you, just jumping off the pages. And I have taught through Acts, and this is no joke, I do not know how many times I've taught through Acts. You know, over the last 30 years, I just, it's something that you cover a lot. It's especially when you're a church, a planter. I've planted many churches and I've been involved in planting many churches, and I've spoken at a lot of different conferences in different parts of the world. And, you know, Acts is just something that you use a lot. And not only that, but I've sat in countless conferences over the last 30 plus years where this was part of what was being taught. So I've been exposed to both teaching it and taught it in the church services over and over again, many times over. But this particular time through, I have really sensed the Lord, for me anyway, speaking things to me about what are we doing and what are we not doing? What should we be doing? What just God's just jumping off the pages to me and making himself known. And I think it's for such a time as this. I think it's for us. I think it's for this group. I think it's for what God wants to do in and through of all of us. And I think there's a purpose and a plan in it. And so we're not rushing through, but we're moving along. So we're in chapter 6 now. And the humor part I want to share with you, I was thinking, gosh, how do you convey this little section, these first 7 verses of chapter 6, with the context of something that would be easy to remember? And so I was thinking, well, you know, I was told that, and many of you are going to remember this, it's called the KISS theory, but I would like to modify it just a little bit. The KISS theory is keep it simple, stupid, and so I want to modify it a little bit. Keep it simple, saints. How's that sound? Keep it simple, saints. Because that's really part of what, remember we went through in Acts chapter 2 and we hit verse 40 and we went through 47 and we talked about in verse 42 those 4 keys, and we really found 7 keys to the simplicity of what church is and to be and what it's to be. It's not supposed to be this big complicated thing. And it's supposed to be, you know, prayer, fellowship, the word of God, communion. We saw the power of the Holy Spirit being, you know, coming upon. We need the power of his Holy Spirit. And there's a couple other things associated with that to come up with our 7. But there's these 7 things, and in 242 is the key to it of just, he reduces it to just this very simple truth of prayer, fellowship, the word of God, communion, you know, and they were staying true to that. And now we hit in verse 1 of chapter 6. Now in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, and they set them before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. We see God at work. We see this in the very beginning. I wanted to read all the way through it, and then we'll break it down and talk about it. But in going through it, you can see in the very beginning, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, we've hit this multiplier now. Some of you guys are familiar with how that happens sometimes. Some of you who may have some money know how that can work. Some of us who don't have any money, it doesn't matter. But those of you who do know how the multiplier can work. There is a multiplier thing. It does work like that, where you can get to a certain amount and then the money just starts making more money. You know, it's a multiplier thing. It's not just adding, it's just multiplying. Well, this happens in all kinds of things. There's a lot of different business, you know, models where that's the idea. But God does this in such a simple way. And it's because the gospel transfers from person to person, from generation to generation, you know, and it's important that we're actively engaged in that process. The church is now in this unique situation. Remember, this is we're still in the early months, you know, of the birth of what we know today as modern Christianity, right? This is the very inception of all of what we know about and see as followers of Jesus. And you remember, it was just so simplistic. And the leaders are there saying, hey, we want to stay true to the simplicity of the message and the simplicity of what we're supposed to be focused on. And I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But the church is now facing its first real, a new form of difficulty, a new challenge. Because as we read, it says, and there arose a complaint. So now there's a discrepancy. There's a bit of a problem in certain ways. And how is the church, how is this new entity that's been formed, and it's really a living organism. Your body is a living organism, right? And this is why the church is described in the scriptures as a body of believers. We really are a living organism. So it's not so much about what gets, unfortunately, the humanity of everything gets focused on organization instead of the life of an organism. So we want to stay, you don't want to be, you know, a free radical is what cancer is, right? Cancer is a free radical. And it's an organism that is, you know, that's gone crazy, right? So we don't want to be that. We want to stay organized to some extent because you don't want to live in chaos, right? That's not the idea. That's not the design of it. But the idea is that we are alive and we're to be functioning. And now some needs have arisen. And how is this new entity, this organism, this thing called the church, the body of Christ, how is the church going to meet these needs? And this is a constant issue within Christianity. For you as an individual and for us as part of the body of Christ. This is a constant adjustment and figuring and working through and dealing with. The needs arise and the church is about to figure out how to go about this, meeting the need God's way. Okay, we see growth happening, and with growth comes needs, you could say problems. I think needs is a very much a politer way to discuss it tonight, but sometimes it can be simply problems that arise. But there's needs, there's issues, you could use the word issue. But they're identifying in this first verse what really is going on. This group, the Hellenists, who are they? They're Jewish people that are Greek speaking and have kind of been growing up in and functioning in the Grecian culture, right? This is a Grecian culture in which they live, right? Rome is controlling the world at the time. They're under the control. Israel's under the control of the Roman Empire. So they're functioning in that way. But the Jewish people didn't. They functioned inside their own culture, right? As Jewish people. And so the Jewish people, the more Orthodox Jewish people, didn't care for the Hellenists in that sense. It was a little bit of a clash, you know, culturally there's a little bit of a clash. But I will say this is important. At this time, they're not Gentiles, okay? The Hellenists weren't Gentiles. They are Jewish people. Their persuasion is just the Grecian culture. They speak Greek, they function that way, right? Okay, you get what I'm... And so now there's this headbutt thing. They feel like they're kind of a little bit of being treated lesser than. That's their what their vibe is. They feel like, well, I'm just being treated as less than. And they feel like they're widows because they are regularly setting out distribution, caring for others that were in need, and they felt like the ladies in their group that were widows were just not being treated fairly. Others were getting a more preferential treatment. Whether that's so or not, I don't know. It doesn't say that. Obviously there was an issue, or else it wouldn't have been addressed, right? There obviously was some legitimacy to the complaint. Whether it was intentional or unintentional, none of that. It's just, this is how did they resolve this problem, this need? Because they want equity. They want things to be done reasonably and fairly for everyone. That was the desire for the leaders. They didn't want it to be unjustly cared for. And so this is the problem. It's clearly identified. They feel like they're not getting, you know, whether it's grain or whatever it was that was being distributed, you know, some kind of sustenance for their well-being was being distributed, and they just weren't getting their share is what the complaint was. And that then the 12, as we see in verse 2, summoned the multitude of the disciples. They got everyone together, and they want to look at what is the solution to this need. Let's just leave it at that. What is the solution to the need? How do we meet the need? And I really like this when we look at this, is the 12 apostles, as they get together, and really you could consider them the pastoral leaders of this new group called the church. They're the pastoral leaders. And so they're caring for, but they said, man, we've got to keep our priority. We've got to stay focused. These needs are very real. We want to help meet these needs, but they want to stay focused. So what we first see them doing is establishing a clear priority for themselves and stating that. And there's a very specific reason why they state this as their priority. Because what they say is their priority. It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. There is in no way are they saying, we're too good to serve tables. In no way are they saying we're unwilling to serve tables. They're saying, no, look, the ministry of the word in the organism of the church, this new entity that God has formed. And remember, ultimately it is formed of all peoples. Ultimately it's Jew, Gentile, it's men, women, it's young people, older people, it's everything. It's humanity can be a part of the body of Christ. It's a new group. Before there were Jews and Gentiles. In the Bible, there's only three people groups. There's no ethnicity issues. There's nothing like that in the Bible. That's people problems. God doesn't have a problem like that. God loves everybody. But there is Jew, Gentile, and a Gentile is everybody that's not a Jew. So there's Jew, Gentile, and then there's the church. Those are the three people groups of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation. Those are the three people groups. And in those three people groups, as we see them, the church, the body of Christ here, as now they are this new entity, there's these new issues, there's these new problems, these new needs that arise. How are they going to address them? And they say, look, we want to address this, but there might have been, obviously the insinuation is there might have been the suggestion, well, you need to take care of this. You need to go do this. You guys need to get out here, and you guys need to watch and make sure that they're getting their plates of food in front of them at the table just like everybody else. Yeah, that's the insinuation, is that was possibly done. We don't know, but that could have been it, because they're very clearly saying, look, it's not what we should do. This is the reason. Again, it's not because they feel like they are unwilling or that they're above that or anything like that. It's this. Everything that's going on, this is the importance, and I try and share this with everybody that's a part of the ministry here, that's connected to the ministry here, that everything flows from the teaching of God's word. God's word is the centric thing, and everything is an outworking of that. We're getting fed God's word. We're being ministered to by the Spirit from His word. It's nourishing our being, and it's sustaining us and giving us life, spiritually speaking. And so everything flows from that. And if they're not diligent and handling it right, things can get skewed. And all of a sudden, they're only talking about what they want to talk about. They only are talking about the things that they're doing good with. They're not giving the whole counsel of God's word. That's why we teach ultimately from Genesis to Revelation. That's why we teach the whole Bible. Is because then you're getting the whole counsel. The Bible says of itself, he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Everything we need is contained therein in the word. So they're saying, hey, it's not a good idea that we should leave this. But this is the very beginning now in verse 3 of where you find this idea of deacons. This is the first beginning of that kind of a concept of what a deacon would be. And I love when we read, and it parallels the descriptions that we have in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, the pastoral epistles as they're known. This is why it parallels those ideas of what an elder or a deacon would be. This parallels the deacon. Let's discuss this briefly. The 12 are summoned. They tell them, hey, as the disciples said, hey, this is great, but it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, because of that, it's a matter of priority. See, if I don't spend time in the Word, and I don't spend time hanging out with God, God only knows what would come out of my mouth. I know me, and I know that cannot be trusted. I would never trust my own brain, that's for sure. I would never trust my own ideas, absolutely not, because I get myself in messes right and left all the time. So, we can't trust any of that. What can we trust? The sure, pure, simple truth from God's word. That's what's trustworthy. That's what helps you. That's what helps me. That's what helps us. And so the importance of being in the word. There's not a person here that would say, yes, I'm a born again believer and is going to say, oh, days go so much better when I don't get up in the morning and spend time with God. Everybody will sit here and tell you, absolutely. When I spend time with God, there is a difference in my day. It doesn't mean I don't have problems. It doesn't mean I don't have issues. It's just there's some kind of difference in just my outlook, my vantage, how the day flows. There's a new dynamic. And we'd all agree with that. Well, the same is true with the body of Christ, the church. We want to stay centered on that. And so this is where we see now this idea they share. They say, well, brethren, seek out, and I like this, from among you. This is part of the solution. We know what the problem is. Now here's the solution. Seek out from among you. I love that idea. It was, hey, y'all find some people that God's raising up that have a burden for this already in your midst. And so he says, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation. I'm sure they observed and thought, well, we probably need, you know, 5 or 6 guys. No, they decided we need about 7 guys to do this. This is a fairly substantial, responsible job. We need some accountability with all of it. And how about 7 guys of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So not only do they have priorities for the apostles themselves, but they say not only is it those who are among you that you have relationship, that you would trust, but also who is it that's qualified or what would be the qualifications for this kind of a role? Good reputation. So this is a good reputation is that which would represent your character, right? Because someone who has a good reputation is a person of character, generally speaking. There's somebody that you can trust. There's somebody that says what they're going to do and they do it. You know, we feel good about that person. They're not going out and doing crazy stuff that is out of control. They're not, you know, they seem to be tuned in and they care for us already. And so there's a trustworthiness in that sense in their reputation of who they are. They have a reputation amongst us as being someone who would be able to fulfill this purpose. Full of the Holy Spirit is the next one. So this would be spiritually minded. And I wrote for myself in my notes, I wrote that they are willing to function under the unction. And that's true, you know. We need the unction of His Spirit in us in order to do the function of what God wants us to do. A lot of people are doing function, but they got no unction. And it's a real bummer, right? Function without unction, no good. We need unction of the Holy Spirit and then function that matches. That's right. You guys can see this, how this might work. I knew some of you get a kick out of that. But so that idea is, and I'm going to put it in just our regular terms now, of we want the Holy Spirit to be motivating us from the inside. The Holy Spirit motivates us internally. And it's the Spirit of God, and it is generated by love. The operative in there, that's the motivator, that's, you know, the catalyst, right, for it, is love that's providing this desire to do these things. I want to be a blessing to someone. I want to do it because I love them and care about them. I want this to be honoring to the Lord, but I also, it's all based out of this love and care for others. The next one we saw out of these three was wisdom. And the wisdom more or less represents a practically minded person as well, wanting to meet basic needs. So this is where it kind of shifts from just the function of maybe an elder, because the elders within the church, according to the scriptures, are those who, if a need just suddenly arises, it doesn't matter whether it's the pastor, it doesn't matter whether it's a children's ministry person, it doesn't matter whether they're an usher or a greeter or someone who calls this church home. If there's a need, we should all be willing to step in and help. We had service one time, this is a number of years ago, and we were meeting at the school, and one of the, an older gal had stood up. I don't know whether we were standing already or what, but we're getting ready to close out service, I think. And I'm standing. I'm the only one, you know, there's a few people around us. She KOs. It's like, oh, great. You know, I mean, I'm, you know, and then everybody goes into scramble mode, you know. And so you just kind of got to wrap things up, you know. But it's like everybody's in go mode, right? Nobody just stands around like, ah. Nobody distances themselves from, you know, it's a need. You're going to try and meet the need. And it doesn't, you don't need some business card that says, ah, Dad, wait, I'm a deacon. I'll take care of this. You know, I mean, you know, that's weird, right? You're a Christian. You care. We can all flood in to meet needs in the general sense. Okay. But this is a specific regular role where things have to be done. And so, and this is, I say this as a challenge to many of us too. To understand, there's deaconesses as well. It's not just deacons, it's deaconesses as well. It's male and female that function in this role. And it's important for us to know that, man, God wants to use all of us in these various ways. I'll explain my thoughts on this a little bit. I'll wrap this all together in just a couple of moments, and then we'll call it an evening. But there's a couple of things I want to finish working through. As we see, this is the first time when this kind of idea is represented. And again, we got to stay with the original design that God's given us, which is the KISS theory, right? Keep it simple, saint, right? Keep it simple. Our tendency is not to be simple. That you know that. We all know that. We just don't keep things simple. Somehow, for me, it's more of I desire simplicity, but I have a tendency to botch things up. So, but I want it to be simple, you know. I desire that. Some people just like chaos, you know. Me, I just have a tendency to repel because my world, chaos invades me, you know. I have a lot of different things that happen in the course of any given day, and things just go on, and it finds me. I don't need to create it. I don't need to look for it. It just locates me. All I'm like a giant chaotic magnet, you know, just, you know, and so I'm cautious with that, and I try, but I know that the importance of the simplicity, and yet here now we have a need, and so what is it? Do we want to start creating this thing and 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 this thing? You know, you can create all these things till you're so fragmented, and you know, this group of sinners that had this problem, you meet on Tuesday nights over here. And this group of sinners, and you had this collective problem, you meet over there on Monday nights. And you meet on Thursdays, and you meet on, you know, I'm just like, man, God, I think all of that's fine. I'm not objecting to any of that. What I'm saying, though, is we need times just to be all together because we're just part of the body of Christ. And quite frankly, because we're human beings, it creates a dysfunctional aspect to it. Just give that a big hug. Because it does. It doesn't function in perfect sync, in a sense, unless we're just really trying to tune into the Lord. Okay? So you're getting a little bit more of the picture. This deacon idea now kind of comes onto the scene without them using that word. That comes up later as the church is kind of growing and developing. And you remember, the church grows and develops to a certain point. And then that ceases not in development as far as numerically or locationally, but as far as what ministries to look like and God's design, it's all unique for sure. It's all, you know, all that's cool. But God has got, remember, we're blood bought. We talked about that. And so he wants it to remain simple, not complicated. This is not some, you know, high level corporate thing. We're not selling anything. You understand that? This is a free thing, and the gospel is something that we're just distributing. We're distributing this thing. It's not a business. You see what I mean? And yet we have to function in certain ways that way, but we're not that. And so it's very important in 2017 and beyond to keep it simple, because humanity wants to make it all these other things and make it so much more complicated. Look at Jesus never owned a home or a donkey. That would be our modern car, or anything. As a matter of fact, some of the people were talking with him and they say, "Hey, well, we want to come hang out with you." He goes, "Hey, that's awesome, man. But you understand." And you can just see Jesus just smiling, looking, "Hey, you understand. You know, foxes have holes and birds have nests. You know, I don't even have a pillow. Do you expect the Son of God to tell you that? No, you don't. You want to go hang in his palace with him. He didn't have a palace while he walked this earth. His palace is somewhere else. It's not of this earth. We can't get so embedded here that we lose sight of where his palace is. You see, that's the real deal. You get the difference of the vantage, right? So he's wanting to keep it simple, but yet there are issues, and so they need to know, how do we allow this to grow and to meet these needs and to do it in a way that honors God and is pleasing to him? This is why I would say it's really meeting needs God's way. That's what's happening here. This is meeting needs God's way. Very, very important. They said, we're committed to this whole idea of turning these other guys loose. That's awesome. But we're going to give ourselves, in verse 4, continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Again, they stayed focused on where they knew the source of all of the real nutrition was going to come from. And so they didn't want to lose sight of that. And so they stayed focused on that. The same, everyone seemed to be blessed. In verse 5, you see, everyone seemed to be pleased with this idea. And they chose Stephen, and then again, they noticed full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Full of faith is that they are trusting in the power of God to move in and through them to do this work. This is a blessing to all of them. That's a important aspect to note. And they select and name them by name, as we see here in the word that we've just read through them a moment ago. And then the apostles, notice what the pastoral leaders do in this situation. These are people that are known by the group. They are trusted by the group. And now the apostles lay hands on them. They pray over them and they release them to do this ministry. And what is the outcome as we look at this, when we do things ministry God's way? What is the result of this? Then the word of God spread. In verse 7, you see the word of God then spreading. It's going out and getting around to people. And the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And then I think this is an interesting note. Would you read this last, after it says Jerusalem is a common, then it says, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's an interesting little note, isn't it? After the comma. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. I just think that's, what an interesting little, you know, thing to fly in there, you know, just to say. But you know why they said that? Because these guys are the ones that are just so difficult to deal with. And they're really saying, and if you can believe it, even they're getting saved. That's basically what they're saying. Even these religious people are coming to know Jesus as well. Because Jesus, it says, the common people were very drawn to Jesus. The common people received him, the Bible says, gladly. the likes of us just embraced him gladly, you know? But these religious leaders, it was a little different deal. They were kind of set in their ways, and they, you know, this was in their minds competition, so to speak. Well, I want to wrap up this thought, and I just wanted to spend time on that little portion of scripture this evening for a very important reason. Because how does this, in a simple thought, let's just work through this in our minds for a brief moment. How does this work out in church? Works out a lot of different ways. Obviously, we watch a lot of these different things. We see a lot of different things. But the tendency is that there's a need that arises. The need arises, and then, unfortunately, we look at it corporately, from a corporate structure, and we go to the CEO, and we try and find out from the CEO, how do you want us to handle this? Now, they went to the pastors and lead, right, okay, cool. But they said, hey, you guys look around, and y'all find some people that have a burden for this, who want to do this. So let me give you some ideas and examples. I believe we have the Holy Spirit. If you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit's dwelling within you, and I believe you can pray and seek the Lord and find out from God, and you can say, now, I'm going to pitch ideas to you from time to time. I'm going to throw some things out, and we'll see if God's in some of that stuff, because sometimes God puts things in my mind, and, you know, I had been praying for a long time about, you know, being able to communicate the gospel in a much broader fashion, and I prayed about radio for a long, long time, many, 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 many years. We were one of the first translator stations to go up in this part of the country when this is 25 years ago out in, when we were in Joplin, you know, and we put up we had no local addressability, no nothing. It was just a feed that went into it, and then it rebroadcast. But it was awesome. It was a really cool thing. So I've been connected to this for, you know, I'm praying about this because I know it's a great medium. But I want to be clear about this. It's not about the radio. It's about what that is. I just prayed about it. Then through a sequence of events, there was someone that we got linked with that, hey man, I really think we can make this happen. We can put this together. They're closing down this other thing. You know, do you want to be a part? You know, and all these sequence of events started happening. And someone else was largely doing it. Mitch got involved, just was trying to just help out because they had so many things going on. He was just trying to help out for a while. Well, then that person, the other person that was really the link to all of this, moved on. And he ends up running the radio station. Mitch doesn't know anything about radio. He does now, but he didn't initially. You know, but my point is his interest, though, is in the ministry aspect of getting the word out, getting music out, connecting with disenfranchised individuals that maybe wouldn't be connected with, you know, church in other ways, you know. And so we're trying to just bust down some barriers and walls that would be up, you know, about preconceived ideas of what church is, and trying to let them know, no, there's music that you can connect with. There's ideas of from the word. There's teaching from the word that it's real, it's relevant, it matters, it's there. So, but I didn't go out and try and find radio stations to buy. Do you see the difference? A CEO mentality is that person goes out, tries to get other people to go and find radio stations that we could buy and acquire, which we had no money, so we couldn't have acquired anything. That's one of the things that's interesting, but that's the way it goes. But are you tracking with me? So what it is God puts something on a believer, any of our hearts and our minds. He impresses it. We start praying about it. And we start thinking through, man, you know, the church maybe could really use some help with this. Or maybe this would be a ministry that would be viable and be helpful. And you pray through that. And then certainly we start talking about that. And then what we do is we come alongside with you as part of our body. And we come along and say, hey, this is a great thing that you're wanting to do. And we want to come along and help you in that process. And we work together in that. But what I'm supposed to be doing is what we're doing right now. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm supposed to be just communicating this concept to you because it's a biblical truth. And now you understand that biblical truth. Now we can start going somewhere with it, right? Because you can start praying, because now you're liberated, you're freed to go do that. But obviously we want to keep it in the confines of, again, we press it through that grid, and those are those things that we talked about, and we did this a number of weeks ago, and the sheets are available, you know, if you want to go back and listen or read through, what is that grid? How do we look at that? Because we really look at things seriously, like, is this fit the charter that we have as followers of Jesus Christ? So it's not so much that I have this good idea, and then I go to the office, and I write it all out, and I turn it in at the office as if it were homework assignment. Hey, this is a good idea. I think the church should do this. Well, who's the church, and who do you think is going to do that? You got to be real about this. We're the church. We all are the church. I'm not the church. I'm a part of the church. We're collectively the church. So who's going to do that? That's really the right way to think about it. I know this is all not the norm. I understand that in our world today. I know this is not the norm. Because you know what we do a lot of times with missions? I'm going to give you a real serious example. You know what we do with missions? We throw money at missions. We don't go on missions. We don't really do missions. We just throw money at missions. I don't want to get around them, you know? It's difficult. I have been in places that stink so bad. Confined rooms like this with more people and more stench than you can imagine. I know. Poor Lo. But it's real. Hey, you know what? They're real people. And they need the real gospel. And they need the real love of God. And they need an example of what that might look like. Right? So you hug them, and you pray with them, and you take a shower when you get to your room. That's what you can do, right? But if you're looking to be connected to ministry and never get dirty, you're with the wrong guy and with the wrong group. Because that's not what true ministry is. And true ministry is birthed out of you having vision from the Lord, personally, hearing from God. I do know people that I've interacted with, have been a part of my life, that are facilitator people. That is what they do. That's their burden. They facilitate. And I know that. And I think that's awesome. And they know that. They're not trying to, you know, travel the globe. We understand that there's different aspects to it. It takes all of us. But what's interesting is when there's the facilitator and the outlet happening, man, look out. God can do crazy things. Because a lot of times the people that have the time and the availability, the willingness to do some of these things, they have no resource to do that. Right? Sometimes they're younger or they just don't have the reason, but they're willing. They got no strings attached to it. They're just willing to go, but there's got to be the facility. And so it's all of this. I'm trying to give you the ideas of these components that make ministry actually work the way this is describing. You see, at that time, all these resources were getting dropped. Remember at the apostles' feet. Remember we just read that recently, how the resources are being left there. And this distribution was going on. Some people felt like they were getting kind of shortchanged. Okay, hey, in your group, who did you have that we could, you know? Some people that had the burdens. Yeah, we're willing to do that. We'd like to do that. And man, things just start to flourish and happen. It's a whole different dynamic when it looks like what we see. You understand, within 30 years, the gospel spread to the known world. You understand that? In the book of Acts, within the first 30 years of the birth of the church, it spread to the known world. What I'm trying to say is it wasn't because they had big programs and they were pitching to all of their constituents in their congregations, hey, you got to support this plan because this is what we're doing next. You see what I mean? They're trying to sell everybody on this idea and this thing. No. It doesn't work like that. Not effectively. If someone's going to try and tell me that they can do something more perfect than the Holy Spirit, we're going to butt heads. I can assure you of that. You can't perfect on the way the Holy Spirit does stuff. So many crazy things happen. Is this making sense? You guys see that in this little portion that, yeah, they needed to address this. They needed to meet this need. Yes, but they did it in a biblical way, in a godly way, in a way that honored the Lord. And they did it with people that were spirit-filled and had a burden, and it was linked together, and it was one thing happening that God was wanting to do. So you can kind of see, a deacon, to be clear, is one who functions in a place of service that is very much focused on the practical, but it comes from the unction of the Spirit, even though it's very practical. They care about the building. They care about people being comfortable in the building. They're concerned about the grounds. They're concerned about how things look. They're concerned. That's how deacons and deaconesses think. They're very concerned with how other people are, if they're comfortable or not, you know, that kind of stuff. On a spiritual side is the elder role, and that's more the distribution of the word and able to minister to some of the more specific spiritual needs. But I guarantee you they overlap all the time. You know, at different hours, you know, there's no telling when you show up what I'll be doing. I'd love to lock myself in my office all the time. It's just that's not my luxury all the time, right? Because there's other things that need to be done too. So it's a balancing act. It's a juggling act. But I assure you, my priority is this right here. What goes on right here, right now. This is my priority. Because this is so important. Because if you don't understand this, you will get hung up on all the programmy concepts that are out there. And you'll keep coming to me and you'll keep saying, hey, I've got this great idea and we should do this and we should do that. And I'll smile and I say, that is a great idea. Now, are you going to be able to help facilitate this or put this together? Or do you have, you know, no. I just, you know, wanted to let you know about what we did at my other church that I went to. And I'm like, well, that's awesome. And then you'll think it just landed on deaf ears. No, I heard every bit of it, but you didn't hear what I was saying. You didn't hear what the Spirit was ministering to you. So I'm sharing it with you right now. That the Spirit's trying to minister something to all of us. You all are an active part. You're an active duty. You're an active duty as a soldier in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's got a purpose and a plan for all of us who are followers. We just got to link into the Spirit and find out what God wants us to do. Father, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here right now. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the fact that you have a purpose and a plan. And it's not program driven. But yet on the same token, here we see an example of a need that got met because it needed to be met. And it happened through the body. And Lord, we just pray that as we grow and develop as a ministry, as different things happen in our church, Lord, that, Lord, you would birth those works that you want to birth in and through our body via your Spirit in our individual lives. And I just pray that your Spirit would just be loosed in this way. That's really my heart and my prayer, Lord, that your Spirit would be loose. There is no stopping a congregation who's got vision like that. There's no limit to the possibilities of how the gospel can get out to different people in different situations. And Lord, the makings of all of that, the ingredients are in the mixing bowl. And so I pray you would just stir our hearts, connect us with what your desire is, Lord. And just help us to link up and do those things that you want us to do that are going to bring you glory for the furtherance of your kingdom. That we would be able to say the same thing, that the gospel is spreading, the word of God is spreading, and the number of disciples is multiplying.